It is Gaza Corner time, and I've been a renter all my life. I don't know what it's like to own, but I can imagine buying your own land so you can build a home for your family has got to be one of the sweetest and most satisfying feelings in one's life. And many Arab Israelis have done just that. They've spent years saving their money to buy land to build a home. But there's a catch. Israeli Jews who buy land have no problem receiving construction permits. For most Palestinians and Bedouins, the permit process in Israel is a dead end. After years of bureaucratic paralysis, many lose hope and just build their home. Homes that are deemed illegal by the Israeli government and then can be targeted for demolition. You may have heard of the illegal Israeli settlement outpost Amona, built on private Palestinian land in the occupied West Bank. This land grab was so outrageous that even Israel's high court ruled it must be evacuated. We shall see. Unlike the U.S. Supreme Court, Israel's high court rulings are sometimes ignored or circumvented by Israel's government when it comes to Palestinian-related rulings. In fact, as I speak, according to columnist Jack Corey of Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, and there are several articles that I link to that helped me research this topic, and his is one of them at the Tangents homepage and also on the playlist. His quote is, "Israel's political leaders are taking a stand to find a solution for 40 families of land thieves, the settlers at the Amona outpost. The political leaders are recruiting the attorney general and top experts in order to bypass the High Court of Justice's decision to evacuate Amona. But they're refusing to discuss any proposal to legalize tens of thousands of Arab homes built on private land in the heart of Arab communities and lead a consensus for efficient planning for Arab society." Netanyahu so twists things that he has even equated the anticipated evacuation of Amona with the Arab house demolitions that are happening at a very increased pace right now as implementing, quote, equal enforcement. He's equating the evacuation of Amona and the Arab house demolitions as applying equal enforcement of the law. But as a columnist Jack Corey points out, Israeli Arabs fiercely object to the comparison with the settlers. Arab citizens are not stealing land, right? And they're, it's not like they've built towns under the auspices of the occupation. They're building on their own private land. They bought with their own money, or they inherited. Rashid Baransi is an Arabic electrician living in the Israeli Arabic town Taibe, where there have been recent home demolitions. He says, quote, "It's a racist policy not to give permits to Arabs. In Amona, they stole land and got a million shekels each in compensation. Here, we have people who invested their souls and they demolish their homes. It is the politics of Netanyahu to pour his hatred onto innocent Arabs," unquote. On the other side of the coin is right-wing Israeli Knesset member Bezalel Smotrich, who said, quote, "The actions that were taken are positive, but they are not even a drop in the ocean. Construction violations in the Arab sector are like a disease and show a blatant disregard for the law," unquote. Yuri Avnery, head of the Israeli group Gush Shalom, termed the demolitions atrocious. Atrocious. This is purely politically motivated, he said. The government wants to show its ultra-right supporters it is doing something against Arabs, unquote. Meanwhile, getting back to Jack Corey, the Haaretz writer, who did an analysis in the paper, commenting on the demolition of 11 houses in one day last week, last Wednesday, in the Arabic town inside Israel called Kalan Suha. He said, quote, an effort that large hasn't been seen in decades, unquote. Kalan Suha's bid for government approval of a detailed plan that would allow for more building has been held up for 14 years. The town's population has doubled in that period. Town councillor Issam Taya said, quote, it's bureaucracy that simply doesn't move. We are citizens who just want to build on our land. He said the demolitions left house owners financially devastated. Quote, it's not just that their money is gone. We are talking about people in debt. They are left without a house, without money, and in debt. And then the state demands that they pay for the cost of the demolition. That is the sickest kind of chutzpah imaginable. Demonstrations against the house demolitions have intensified, with thousands protesting, especially since the killing this past week of Yaqub Abu al-Kiyan, a local teacher who was shot dead by Israeli security forces in the Bedouin town al-Hiran. Despite mass civil disobedience to prevent the demolitions, 15 dwellings were destroyed this past week in one day. And that same day, that Palestinian teacher, Yaqub Abu al-Kiyan, was killed while driving his car. He was the father of reportedly 12 children and owned one of the buildings that was demolished. Israeli authorities tried to peddle the story. He was shot after he deliberately rammed his car into a group of police. However, the autopsy showed that the first bullet hit Kiyan's right leg, causing him to lose control of the car, according to a report aired by Israel's Channel 10 television station just yesterday. Even the police video seems to show officers shooting at him as he drove his car slowly before the vehicle accelerated and hit a group of police, killing Sergeant Major Erez Levy and injuring a Palestinian legislator. The second bullet, according to the report, hit his chest, causing severe internal bleeding, yet Kinyan was not given medical treatment, and he bled to death at the scene after 20 minutes. In fact, his body is still in the hands of Israeli authorities after his family rejected conditions for its release. Israeli authorities insisted that he be buried at night with only close family members in an attempt to avoid a big burial procession. The Bedouin town where Kiyan was shot to death, al-Hiran, has been particularly symbolic in the fight against demolition orders over the years, with residents having waged a long legal fight against these orders. It's located in the Negev Desert, and the village is home to around 1,000 people. They mainly live in these small concrete buildings. They have no electricity grid. So what they rely on are solar panels, and they raise livestock as they've done forever. In 2013, Israel's cabinet approved the establishment of two new Jewish communities in the Negev, Kesif and Hiran, H-I-R-A-N. In order to make way for the two new towns, al-Hiran, which is unrecognized by the authorities, which is business as usual in Israel in terms of how it mistreats its Bedouin population. And don't forget, the Bedouins are the indigenous desert inhabitants. And the Israelis are forcing them to be relocated to accommodate these two new Jewish communities. In 2015, Israel's High Court approved the removal, saying that since the residents could theoretically live in the new towns, the move did not constitute discrimination. The Palestinian-run rights group Adala, which has represented the Bedouin villagers in court, replied, quote, "The Israeli Supreme Court's decision to allow the state to proceed with its plan to demolish the village, which has existed for 60 years, in order to establish a Jewish town called Hiran over its ruins, is one of the most racist judgments that the court has ever issued," unquote. Imagine being Abu Khaled Arar. He moved away from the Negev after his land was expropriated for construction of an airfield. He moved to Kalansua, where he brought, where he bought land. I described this town earlier. It's the town that where 11 homes in one day last week, last Wednesday, were destroyed. Several of those homes belonged to Abu Khaled Arar's family. They were owned by his sons. So Abu Khaled's land was taken away from him in the Negev, and he builds a new life in Kalansua, where homes belonging to his family were destroyed this past week. Another resident, Youssef Makhlouf, also had his home destroyed. Quote, "I have nothing left. They have left me without anything." He worked as a builder of swimming pools until he was forced to stop because of a heart condition. Quote, "They have destroyed my children. They have destroyed me." He said that a demolition notice was posted on his house late on Monday, this past Monday, and the bulldozers came early on Tuesday, leaving him no time to petition for court intervention to spare the house. Quote, "All my life, I worked to make that house," he said, "all my life. There's nothing left," unquote. Talab Al-Sana, who served as a member of the Knesset for 2 decades and is currently an activist focusing on housing and land rights in the Negev area, said, quote, "The state does not see us as citizens and thus deals with us not as citizens, but as aliens," unquote. Netanyahu continues to willfully incite the Israeli Arab citizenry to placate his ultra-right-wing coalition. How long this can last is anyone's guess. It's lasted so long already, and at some point, enough is enough. The music of Gaza Corner tonight will be by Ayir Dalal with a Bedouin ensemble known as Azazme. I'll talk more about it after the music. This is Gaza Corner, a 91.7 Tangents.
فصايلها يا ليت كلامه زين يعجب حمايلها يحكي كلام كثير يوصف فصايلها يا ليت كلامه زين يعجب حمايلها
ثم الصلاة عزين نعرف فضايلها هذا كلام الحر أبو الحق قايلها ثم الصلاة عزين نعرف فضايلها هذا كلام الحر أبو الحق قايلها لو تدري هذا يصير قصة قدايلها بنت البدو يا حيب تعرف